Exodus 17. I'd like to share some things that's on my heart tonight. Can I share a quote with you while you are turning to Exodus 17? This quote was from David Livingstone. Matter of fact, it was an African chief that said this statement to David Livingstone. This African chief said to David Livingstone, he says, "My forefathers have passed away into darkness without knowing anything of what was to befall them." And then he says, "How is it that your forefathers, knowing all these things, did not send word to my forefathers sooner?" Yeah. What an indictment. And folks, there's still work to do. Yeah. Still so much work to do. Someone once said, as long as there's millions destitute of the Word of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it will be impossible for me to devote time and energy to those who have both. Think about that. I've had it all my life, yet millions still sit in darkness tonight. Someone once said, we talk of the second coming when many haven't even heard about the first.
Yeah, right.
Folks, this week is we're not playing a game.
Right.
You may come to church tonight thinking that you just need to do it out of necessity. But it's vital.
Yeah.
We're not coming here tonight to play patty cake.
Amen.
We're not here tonight to play Monopoly.
Right.
This is not a game. This is not something that we do and then later it means nothing at all for eternity. But what we do tonight and what we've done in the past and what we've done this week and the hours that we've spent and the money that we will spend, it's not a game.
Amen.
And it is vital. It is important. And there's men and women whose lives literally hang in the balances tonight in these boxes.
Yes, sir.
And so what we're saying tonight and what we're talking about tonight is vital, and we cannot miss it. We cannot miss it. Words from these missionaries who have been out and done work and the indictment of the African chief. And I'm telling you what, the Lord's coming back. We heard about that in song. But I'm almost embarrassed to one day stand before Him, give an account. We're going to have to give an account. So let's take this as serious as we can. Exodus chapter 17, I'm going to start reading in verse number 8. We have a count here of Moses and the children of Israel, and then I have a narrative story that we'll go into this evening. Verse number 8 out of chapter 17 of the book of Exodus, the Bible says, "Then came Amalek." We can stop right there and preach for a while. You know what? You have victories in your life, and you have battles in your life, and you overcome, and God brings you through some things, and you get on top of the mountain, and you get out, and God feeds you and does some things, and then along comes Amalek.
Yeah.
We can preach all night on that phrase, "Then came Amalek," but we're not going to, because Amalek is still in the world today. This has been a great week. We've enjoyed the food, and I enjoyed the food.
Amen.
And we had a good time, and we praised. But I tell you what, Amalek hates what we're doing, and he's coming to stop us.
Yeah.
The Bible says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other side. and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book. Aren't you glad tonight that we have that story in a book tonight that we are rehearsing? We have 66 books of the account of God that we have in our hand that God wants us to know that we can rehearse and we can share, and not only share one with another, but with the world. He says, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek under the sun. And here's our last verse. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. I'd like to preach for just a moment and share a few things tonight on the title, the message title, called Keep It Up. Keep It Up. Keep It Up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the testimony that has went down from age to age. People have penned it down over the years, and tonight we have this in our lap. We are rehearsing what you told Moses to tell Joshua to write down. And Lord, I'm so thankful for your word tonight. I'm so thankful I have a copy of your word. And I pray that tonight that you would not only let us have it in printed form, but Lord, you'd burn that in our hearts. Lord, that you'd give us a passion for the world, that you'd give us a passion for our neighbors. Lord, that you'd give us a passion for your glory. And we love you tonight. We praise you. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that tonight you would speak and I would be still and quiet. Lord, I want to say the best to know how I love you. And I pray that you'd work through our midst tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Keep it up. Keep it up. As we read through this story, I'd like for you to write down these three phrases, if you would. If you have a pen and you don't mind writing on the fly leaf of your Bible or on a notepad, would you write these things? This is a progression in this story. We find in verse number 10, the Bible says, they went up. They went up. In verse number 11, the Bible says Moses held up, held up. And in verse number 12, we find the phrase stayed up, stayed up. Now, here's a progression that we find in this story, and I'm going to be talking about those three areas tonight. But what helped these people keep up this good work? What happened? How did these people overcome the enemy? How were they able to overcome in this battle here? Because they were able to keep it up. We find out, first of all, in this story that it took a cast. It took a cast. There were some people involved in the story that God used for His glory. Now, tonight, I would like to use some illustration. So I'm going to find a cast of people tonight. Could I do that, Pastor? First of all, we need to find a Moses. We need to find a Moses. Now, Pastor, would you be that man for me? Would you be Moses for me tonight? I pick Pastor, number one, because I believe that, right there, just stand right there for me. I believe that Moses was a man, a great man of God. And I believe that Moses had God's authority on him. I believe that he was a great leader, although Moses wasn't a perfect man. So I think all these things would fit your pastor. He's a man of God. He's got the presence of God in his life. He's a wise leader, but he doesn't always make every right decision. Probably doesn't. Not a perfect man. But who is? Okay? And God gave that man a job, Moses. So we're going to use Pastor tonight. He's going to be Moses. We also need a Joshua. We need a Joshua. Brother David, would you be Joshua for me tonight for the sake of things? Now, Joshua was a man that God used in this story. And Joshua was coming up behind the man of God. And God did some great things through Joshua. Joshua was a fighter. Joshua went out and was a leader as well. And so I'm going to use these two men. I also need an Aaron and an Ur. Who tonight, brother Ed? Are you a deacon? Brother Ed. Okay, Brother Ed. Okay, Brother Bobby and Brother Ed, would you come up, please? Thank you very much. And we're going to say that this is our cast tonight. This is a Aaron and an Ur. Now, the Bible says that Moses spoke to Joshua, and he says, I want you to go tomorrow, and I want you to get some men. So would you find a couple of men that would go with you to battle? Okay?
Sure.
A couple of men that would go with you to battle. All right? All right. Sean and Fred. Now, these are men. Now, Moses said, I want you to go and find some men. Now, is this the best you could do, brother?
I wouldn't find
them. Okay, all right, good. I won't either then. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And Moses said, I want you to find some men. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go up upon the hill with Aaron and Ur. So if you would do that tonight and just go right up. We're going to say this is the hill tonight. And you go right up on stage. And he says, I'm going to go up on the mountain. And the Bible says, with something. He took something with him. Okay? And we're going to talk about that for just a moment. He went on to the top of the hill. And the Bible says he went up with the rod of God. Now, I really brought this because of Miss Lizzie. If she gets out of hand, I'm really going to have to use it. But since I have it, I'll use it for this story. He says, I want you to go on top of the hill with the rod of God in your hand. Now, what did the rod of God in Moses' life represent? First of all, it represented the presence of God. When Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, he took his rod. We find out in chapters earlier when God says, I got a job for you, and he was by the burning bush, and Moses said, I can't do this. And God asked him, he says, what is in your hand? Now what he's saying is what do you have in your possession that you could offer me, that I could work through and show you that I am God? Now, can I say this tonight? You and I may not be much, but God has a plan for each one of us. And God uses what we have and not what we don't have.
Right.
Because what we have will help God or will be used of God to get what we don't have. You know, we don't have to have it all. We don't have to know it all. We don't have to be it all. God just says, I want to use you. Just give me what you got. And all he had was a stick or a rod that he tended sheep with. But this rod, this stick, was what God used, first of all, to show his presence. Because he took that in front of Pharaoh, and he threw it down, and Pharaoh knew that the presence of God was with that man.
Right.
You know, the more I think of this story, and the more I go through it, and the more I ponder it, and the more I study, there's just so much that comes up. And I won't go through all of this. But, you know, Moses was raised in that house. Moses knew everything there. I wonder what significance that had when Moses threw that down and it became a snake and it ate up the other snakes, the other rods, and it showed the presence of God in Moses' life. Not only did that rod, as he went up on that hill, represent the presence of God through all those plagues, God kept saying, take the rod, take the rod, take the rod. But when he stepped, and we talked about this the other day, but when he held that thing out over the Red Sea, you know what that showed? It showed God's power.
Yes.
It showed God's power. Man, those seas split wide open, and that massive, massive group of people walked over on dry ground.
Yes.
Folks, it represented the presence of God. It represented the power of God. But you know, God did some other things with that rod. In the story right before this, he took it and smote a rock.
Yep.
And God provided out of it.
Right.
Yep. You see, it represented the presence of God and the power of God and the provision of God.
Yes.
And now, God told him to take that rod. There you go, Pastor. Mm-hmm. To take that rod and go up on the hill and to do something wonderful with that rod. So here they are, they have Amalek, and they go out, and Amalek. Now, let me say some things to you. If you'll do your research, you'll find out that Amalek was not a pea-shooting army. Amalek was actually the equivalent, or at least closest to the equivalent, of the Egyptians on the other side of the river. They were a massive, huge fighting machine. You do the study, you read the books, you'll find out that Amalek was a tough competitor. It was a Mike Tyson of the fighting realm. And so here we are, we have little old Moses and the brickmakers going out to fight this massive, huge army. Now, I won't say anything about it now. I'll pick it up later on in the story. But we'll see exactly the force of the children of Israel. So God says in the story, go up on top of the hill, and you'll stand there with Aaron and Ur. Joshua will go down and fight this battle. You see, it took a cast. It took people. And what I'm saying tonight is, first of all, God uses people for his work.
Yes.
God uses
yes,
people.
Does.
It doesn't have to be strong people. It doesn't have to be smart people. It doesn't have to be healthy people. It doesn't have to be young people. It doesn't have to be old people. God can use anybody, anywhere for his glory, but he chooses not to use necessarily angels to tell. He doesn't use angels to tell the story, but he uses people.
Yes.
He uses you and I. So we have a cast. And not only do we have a cast here, you know, they were able to hold it up. They were able to fight the battle. They were able to win the war. First of all, because they had a cast. It took a cast. Second of all, it took cooperation.
Right.
It took cooperation. Now, here we are. We have Moses. And the Bible says when Moses went up, he held up his hand, just like that.
Right.
But you know what, folks, tonight, as strong as your pastor is and how much he wants to hold his hand up for a long time, his hand's going to get tired, isn't it? So what do you do when one hand gets tired?
You put it in the other one.
You put it in the other one. And what do you do when that hand gets tired?
Switch over.
And it's not long before both hands are pretty tired.
Yeah.
But you see, it was just not one man that did it all. Because there was other people that said, I'll help and I'll get involved.
Amen.
And it took cooperation. Cooperation, sorry fellas, I'm going to have to get in the way here for a minute. I got to have some notes here. Cooperation. Cooperation, it took a conscious decision to work together even though their efforts were on the opposite hand.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say that here in a minute. Now, the Bible says his hands were heavy. Moses, they went up. That was obedience. That was a step of obedience. Now, what are they going to do if the battle's down here? He said, well, God told us to do it, and we're just going up here. So he was obedient. It took a step of faith. We talked about this weekend, didn't we? But it also took cooperation. He not only went up, but he held up. And so now he's holding it up. Now what's going to happen is this. His hands are going to get tired. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone. So we're going to take just one of the seats. If you'll just take one over here on this side so everybody can see over there, just leave it. That's good, right there. And Pastor, if you'll just have a seat. The Bible says they saw, what happened was they saw a need. They had initiative. And they took a stone, a pretty comfortable stone,
yeah,
and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and the Bible says, stayed up his hands.
Right.
Now go ahead, hold that up. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead, let's put it this way for now. I don't know how he held it, but I like it that way.
Yeah.
It's my story. I'm up here. Let me do it the way I want to. And so they held up his hands, plural. You see, before it was one hand. Now they're both up. Cooperation, let me read that again, is a conscious decision to work together even though their efforts were on opposite hands. You know, Aaron could have said, hey, you're doing it wrong over there. Hey, you're not holding his hand like I am. No, I'm not going to hold his hand. I'm going to rest for a while. No, they cooperated together even though they were doing different functions on different hands. That's cooperation. What they did was they assisted the team in the outcome without even being on the battlefield. You see, not everyone can be on the battlefield, but everyone can have an opportunity in the outcome of the battle.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Right.
Now, these guys, they're out here fighting. They're out here battling. They're out here doing it. But Moses' hands, the Bible says in verse 11, it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. So these men took an initiative and teamed up together. They decided they were going to be a part of the outcome even though they weren't on the battlefield. And folks, tonight, you have an opportunity. These boxes here.
Yeah.
You'll probably never go to the Philippines. Most of you probably will never see these people. But you know what you've done? You've come together. You've united together. You said, we'll help. We'll put stuff together. And we'll send it. And we'll be a part of the outcome, even though we never will set foot on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good thing?
Amen.
It takes cooperation. You can hold down your hand for just a minute. I know it's getting tired. But stay right there. Stay right there. It took a cast, and it took that cast to cooperate. But also it took a common goal.
Yes.
It took a common goal. Now, we have here, what is the common goal? In this story, what was the common goal? Verse 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass, now I'm going to let you figure out the common goal. Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. So what's the common goal? Keep it up. Keep it up. The goal, you know what Joshua's goal was? Was to keep it up. Was to do his part exactly the way God wanted him to so that these men could do their part. And these men's part was to do what God called them to do so that they can win the war. You see, if one lost, they all lost. And that's the way it is in the church today. If one loses, we really all lose. And if we're going to be effective, it's going to take us all. The common goal was up. Was it Joshua's fighting skills that won the battle? If you'll look back in the story, what were the children of Israel? Were they warriors? They were slaves. They were brick makers. Now, where did they get? They went up against a big army. Where did they get their fighting skills? They didn't have any. The Egyptians didn't teach them to fight. Last time Israel fought against the Egyptians is when Moses killed that guy.
Right.
They had absolutely no fighting skills, yet God stuck them out there to do something that only God could do. And he decided to do it through them in a miraculous way.
Yes.
It wasn't Joshua's fighting skills that won the war. It wasn't Moses' commanding skills that won the war. He had been out in the backside of the desert tending sheep. He said, I can't do this. My speech is horrible. I can't do this. I can't lead these people. So it wasn't Moses' skills. You know what won the battle? It's right here. God said, when it's up, you win. When it's down, you lose. So they had a common goal. It took people, a cast. It took cooperation. Everybody kind of had to work together. It took a common goal. Keep it up. Moses keep it up. I wonder, while Joshua and his men were fighting out here, I wonder if every once in a while they glanced up to see what position the rod was in.
Right.
When it was up, they were encouraged.
Right.
Man, when it was up, they were excited because you know what? They were going to win.
Right.
But I wonder if they looked back and the rod was down. Oh, and how discouraging that was. It not only took a cast and it took cooperation and it took a common goal, but it took consistency. The Bible says, now I'm going somewhere with this, so please bear with me. It says, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him and sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, one on the one side and one on the other side. And his hands, the Bible said, were steady until the going down of the sun.
Yeah. All day long he stood up.
All day long. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time to hold your hands up. The blood would run out of your hands. Your knuckles would be white. He couldn't do it by himself. It took others to come around him to do what they could do here while those were out on the battlefield, and they all did it all day long.
Yes.
It took consistency. Moses, listen to this statement. Moses held up his hands. Aaron and Ur made sure they stayed up.
Yeah. Grab on.
Can I tell you, can I show you something here? Can I show you something? This is what they did not do. They did not hold it up like this. You know why? Because this was the authority of God.
Amen.
And the authority is only in one place.
You're right.
Okay? They didn't say, let me grab a hold of this.
Right.
No. They grabbed a hold of the hands.
Amen.
That had a hold of that. And let me tell you what, you ever overstep the authority of God, you're in big trouble.
Amen, sir.
And I guarantee you, you go out like Miriam and Aaron did one time and go against Moses, the man of God, and they did that one time, and God said, come here a minute, let's take you outside the camp, and struck Miriam with leprosy and spared Aaron. And he says, this is what I do to people who do not pay attention to the authority of God.
Right.
And folks, there is a way to do it. There's a reason to do it. And when it happens, then they're victorious.
Yes.
Now, let's take the rod away for just a moment. Let me replace that with this.
Yes.
Now, why don't you hold that up for a second, Pastor? Now, this is the authority we have today.
Yes.
We have the Word of God.
Yes.
And folks, guess what? When this book is up,
right,
we win.
Amen.
When the church, the authority that God has placed, holds up the standard, holds up the Word of God, preaches the Word of God, stands on the Word of God, practices the Word of God, proclaims the Word of God, sends out the Word of God.
Yeah.
When the Word of God is up,
then
we're winners.
Yep.
But you know what happens, folks? When the Word of God is down,
we lose.
We lose.
Yep.
We are losers. Now, we'll win the war, but we're going to lose out on the battle.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. The war is already taken care of, but there's battles we're facing today. And so what has to happen in the house of God is the Word of God has to be lifted up.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me.
Yes.
Okay? If He's lifted up, and who is He? He's the Word.
Yeah.
So now pastor could do it all day long, but guess what? He gets a little tired. He gets a little weary. He can't make all the visits. He can't drive all the buses. He can't teach all the Sunday school classes. He can't do all the offering. He can't take care of all the kids. God's put him in here for a reason and a purpose. And so God is using him in a way, and he is the picture of the church. But guess what? There are others that come beside him to stabilize and to keep it up.
Amen.
Keep it up.
Yep.
Can I ask you a question? Does everybody have to be the authority?
No.
Can't some people serve next to the authority? Isn't that a blessing? You know what? Don't make me be the head cheese, because I don't want all the responsibility. Why don't you just let me be a helper? You know what, folks, tonight, I'll tell you what. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best administrator. I'm not the best anything. But I guarantee you what I'm going to do with my life is I'm going to do this to my pastor.
Amen.
I'm going to keep his hands up. Because whether I'm doing this or doing this or doing this, when this is up, I win regardless.
Yes.
It takes cooperation to do that. It takes people that will lead the singing. It takes people that will play the instruments. It takes those that will go in the sound deck. It takes those to be in the Christian school. It takes those to run buses. It takes those to wipe babies, rear ends in the nursery. All that is important, and what you're doing is you're keeping it up.
Yep. Yep.
You're just keeping it up.
Yep.
But you know what? You've also got some people out here. You know what they are? They're your 100 missionaries.
Yeah.
They're your 100 missionaries that are on the foreign field. They're fighting. They're in places that you're not, because you're up here. You're holding the standard high in this community. You're doing what's right. You're reading your Bible. You're taking time. You're doing your devotions. You're teaching your classes. You're not playing a game. You have a relationship with God. And what that does is it helps the whole. It keeps this up. And you're here, but you've got people out here fighting a battle.
Right.
They're out in Africa. They're out in Russia. They're out in Yugoslavia. They're out in these countries, and they're fighting. And as they're fighting, they're taking the sword, and they're fighting it with the sword. You're sending ammunition to them. Yeah. They're fighting, and every once in a while, they turn back and see if it's still up.
Amen. Still standing.
Still up. Still up.
Yes.
You know what? Churches are dropping and closing their doors by the hundreds every year. Let me ask you a question. Will it happen here next year? Is it going to happen here? Are you going to close your doors, disband, sell your property, and go to your homes? Is that going to happen here? There's many churches that say, it won't happen here, it won't happen here, but it will if that's not up.
You're right.
Amen.
So it's your job to keep it up.
Amen.
It's going to take a cast.
Yes.
It's going to take cooperation.
Yes.
It's going to take, what's the next one? A common goal. It's going to take a common goal. You may drive the bus, and your objective is to pick up kids. But your common goal is to glorify God and to lift Him up. So that He draws all men. So if you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you're helping this stay up, which gives life to the church.
Amen.
And they win. And they win.
Amen.
And I like to be a winner.
Amen.
Now, folks, it's a simple story. You can have a seat. Thank you very much. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take everything you have to keep it up. I'm telling you, I'm in churches, I'm in places that it's falling. We must keep it up. You know, this story is simply about people that will work together with a common goal that just won't quit.
Amen.
That's all this story is about. People. Obedient people, obedient to God, that will work together with a common goal that just won't quit. My challenge to you tonight is to keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. As a church, as an individual, we must keep it up. John Stott made this statement. He says, "His authority on earth allows us to dare to go to all nations. His authority in heaven gives us our only hope of success. And his presence with us leaves us no other choice." Folks, we must go on. We must keep it up.
Yes.
We must continue to support missionaries.
Yes.
We must continue to pick up kids.
Yes.
We must continue to work hard on our Sunday school classes and do our part in your place. We must keep it up.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity tonight. Lord, what a privilege it is. Lord, you've put me in a place in my life. I'm not a pastor, although I am a man of God. I'm not a pastor. But Father, my job is to be in a ministry that keeps my pastor's hands up. And Lord, you've put this message on my heart. And Lord, I don't want to do anything that hinders the church. I don't want to do anything that stifles people coming to know you as Savior. I don't want to do anything that stops your glory from being known around the world. Lord, I pray tonight that you've spoken to hearts, and I don't know what you've done. But Lord, there may be someone here tonight that's lost without Christ that needs a Savior. There may be a Christian here tonight that has, Lord, stepped out of your will and not holding it up. Lord, it's going to take us all to get the job done. And I pray that you would speak to hearts. Maybe, Lord, there's someone here tonight that's been holding it up and is tired. Lord, maybe they need strength tonight. I love you. Thank you for your goodness. In Christ's name, amen, Pastor.